I just want to do something. I asked our brother to stay up with us there, and I just want to talk to us before I present the word about healing. You know, sometimes we think that we have to go to a healer. We have to show up at a conference and there'll be maybe prayer or a special moment. But especially these days, I know God can move like that. He can work like that, of course. But I just see a lot of times the healing comes like as a private moment between you and the Lord. And, you know, I had a situation where my husband rushed me to the hospital because I was in so much pain. And I felt like my stomach was going to split. I felt like my intestines were going to rip. And it was just so much pain. So he called an ambulance. And it was the strangest thing, because when I stood up to get into the ambulance, the pain was gone. And I thought, what do I do now? Do I still go? What if I don't and it starts all over again? Am I going to, you know? Because when the pain was so bad, I just wanted to get there. It wasn't a matter of my husband driving me to the hospital. It was like, you know, call an ambulance because maybe. But, and so I remained 3 days, full days in the hospital without pain. And so there were tests taken and different things like that. But I had such moments of being able to minister to people. And I have been so much better. I mean, really, I feel like I was healed since then. And no one laid hands on me, you know, which is a beautiful thing. I'm not against any of that. But they told me, don't eat anything with fiber in it. Nothing, nothing at all. And when I came home, the next morning when I woke up, I sat before the Lord and I felt like God said, eat fiber. I created it. I put it inside food. Eat it. So I eat everything, everything. And I might get a little, like the enemy wants to say, you know, no. I have not, right, been suffering. And if you knew my life before I went to the hospital. But it was just the hand of God. And it wasn't something I fasted for, I was really seeking hard after. I was going to the hospital for help. And the Lord was there. And I just want to say to you right now, if you need a healing, right, you don't need a man or a woman, which is, I'm not against healing ministries at all, but you need the healer, Jesus Christ. And we're all believers. We all walk with him. We love him. We worship him. We adore him. Why would he not? Why would he not heal his children? So what I'm going to ask our wonderful Chuck, our brother Chuck, to just sing a song of healing. We did have a song this morning. It could be that song or whatever the Lord puts on his heart. And if you need a healing, all I'm asking you to do is stand to your feet and worship. Receive this song. If you need a healing, stand up. And as we put our eyes on the Lord, not man or a technique or a system, but as we put our eyes on the Lord, the healer, when he walked on the earth, what did he do? He healed and he healed. And he healed. And after he left, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is our healer. So let's just get in with God and let's just receive.
Falling down. rain is falling down, I'm not afraid. Falling down. Yes, your healing rain is falling down. We're not afraid, Lord. No, Lord, we're not afraid. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We just have to be like little children. Amen? Oh, amen. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you so much. My husband mentioned about Jake for next week, and I love this man's spirit. And he reminds me of when we used to go on certain retreat places, and especially one. And I just love the way he opens up the word. So don't miss next Sunday. If you have something going on, try to put it off. You will enjoy him. I hope you do enjoy him as much as I do. He's so deep, and yet he makes things so clear. And he's a beautiful man of God. So, Father, I just ask you to bless this word in I ask you for an anointing, God. I just thank you, Father, for your direction. Thank you, Father, that our hearts are beating with your hearts even more and more as the days go on, Lord God. And I'm so grateful to you, God, for you to be in my life, in our lives, to be with us. You said, I'll never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you accompany us. Thank you that we can walk with you and grow. You're causing us to grow. You're watering your garden all over this earth. And Christians are arising. And even though there's so much darkness, so much negativity, in this world, the church of Jesus Christ is arising. There's so much confusion all around us. But I have to say that the Father, God, has his eyes on us. God is looking at us, and his eyes are fixed on us. We're very important to him. We're very important. He loves us beyond words, and his eyes are on you. In the midst of all the confusion, and you know what? The attacks on the church, it's starting. I mean, it's been here forever, but I just see rippling and I see increase, and we haven't seen it yet, but I see more, but we haven't seen it yet. We have to keep our eyes on God. So God's eyes are on us, his children, his church. He looks at us like a father. Amen? He's the greatest father. And if we had little children, our eyes are on them, and we're watching them grow. And we want to know what's going on inside of them. And if we could fix them, we would. God's eyes are upon the church. And we have to keep our eyes on God. Because let me tell you, the most important thing in life is God's eyes are on you. And I pray, God, that you would give me dimension, that you would give me such an understanding to share. But when you wake up in the morning, he's there, right? You go about your day, he's there. If you're feeling sad or something's going wrong, he's there. God is there. And God is inclining his ears to his church more now than ever, because his church is awakening and crying out more now, and that's going to be increasing. The church is going to be increasing, and God's ears are inclined to the voice of his children, his people. So we have to keep our eyes on him no matter what's going on. The most important thing is, again, his eyes are on us. We should feel that, and we should walk in that during the course of your day. When you go to bed at night, he is there. You say, okay, my child, get some rest. When you wake up in the morning, good morning. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. And maintain that knowing that he is there moment by moment. Why wouldn't his eyes be on the church? We're the bride of his son. So why wouldn't he keep his eyes on us? We're going to reign with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to come and reign, but the bride gets to reign with him. I can't explain that to you. If God really opens that up to me, I would love to do a teaching on it someday. But we are in his plan for the future, and that plan will never change. We have been chosen, people, to be called his beloved. You know God has a perfect plan for the future that will last forever. He has everything. He has a timeline. Every little step of the way is planned out. It's planned out. And the moment that he calls the bride home, the rapture, God knows exactly when it is, but nobody else knows. No one else knows but God the Father. I feel secure and I feel safe knowing the God that we serve. That he would die for us. That he would be whipped and beaten, scourged. That he would let his son, perfect son, get on that cross. And the man didn't nail him there. He got on that cross. That's the way I see it. And for us, there was a moment, everybody believes, that when Jesus was suffering, that God turned away. Because we know Jesus said, wait a minute. Up until now, I felt your presence. Why did you forsake me? All for his children. Everything he did, everything he allowed, up until this time. And God has a plan, a wonderful, ultimate, wonderful, wonderful, glorious plan for each one of us. Because as we've always said, we've been chosen to walk in this hour. This is a very important strategic time. Timeline, biblical timeline, here we are. We are his beloved. And he has a plan all worked out for our future. No matter how many years we have, 15, 20, 25, 30, he has a plan. And I think it's the conclusion of our time here on the earth. Now, Jesus may come back before I close my eyes, or maybe not. But up until that moment, he wants us to stay aware, alert, aligned with his truth and the life that he gives us. When we're thinking negatively, uh-oh, or out of the center of God's will, get back there. So you walk. We breathe. We move with him. His eyes are on us. Do you know that when we get to heaven, together in heaven, we will still have our own personal identity? Do you know that? Of course, we will be like him, but we also will have our own personal identity because God is personal and he loves us. And so, let's see. If I'm Diane here on the earth, I'm going to be Diane. I'm going to have a new name that's written down in heaven, but I'm still going to be Diane. Because there is a part of me that he loves so dearly, and he's going to keep that alive, and that's the part that loves him. Amen? Thank you for that, amen, my brother. He created us and loves us so much, just the way we are, although the Spirit of God is changing us, and he's getting us ready. We work with him in this, right? The bride has made herself ready. Do you feel yourself growing, changing, even mentally? You do. I'm sure you do. Job 20, 26, if we could just go there for a moment. Chapter 20, and 26. I think that's the wrong scripture, and I'm sorry for that. An affirmation of confidence. No. Okay. So an affirmation of his confidence is what I was going to bring up. Job thought that God had brought all these disasters upon him. Job still expected to see God. After all Job went through, he was still looking to see God. Job struggled with the idea that God was presently against him. he still believed firmly that in the end, God would be on his side. And as you read scriptures in Job, you see that he's got some struggling going on. He's got questions, but he still covers God. He still raises God up, is speaking about God in a highly way. He had confidence in God. He struggled, but still firmly believed that in the end, God would be on his side. Now, there's a scripture in the Word of God that explains that more clearly. He still believes, even though you are allowing this to happen to me, I know you are on my side. He had confidence, not in himself, but in God. All that's going on in the world, and this world is so chaotic, isn't it? We don't know from day to day. I mean, it is crazy. It is crazy. There's such a dividing line. It's really something. It runs so deep. With all that is going on, God has his eyes on you. And he will continue to watch you and to look deeply into our heart, our hearts. He's very conscious and wants to know exactly what's going on in our hearts, moment by moment. God sees all. And Job he firmly believed, God is still with me. God is still with me. I'll question. I'll be in anguish. I have agony. I cry out. But I know he's still with me. I know he has not left me. This belief was so strong that Job was one of the first to talk about the resurrection of the body. Now, there are some scriptures, but he actually, in his weakest place, most painful place, while his heart was broken, all of his children died all at once. He still had this foundation set inside of him. And he was seeing spiritual things. Job speaks about it. It's even mentioned in Psalms how Job spoke about the resurrection of the body. And of course we know in other scriptures, Revelation 21, 1 to 26, it speaks about the resurrected body. Listen, when my body is resurrected, I shall see God. Job said that. I will be me, but with a resurrected body. I will see him with my eyes and not another. Job is giving us the assurance that he will retain his identity. It will be me. I will see him. He looks at me. I have that connection. We have to retain our identity. We'll have our identity even still with a new body in heaven. I know there's a new name, like I said, written down in heaven. But I'm going, Diane is going to be in heaven. Annette, I will know Annette. And I will know her by the Spirit. Because what God puts in us will remain. Remember when Jesus said to Thomas, because Thomas was doubting, there he is. And and Thomas couldn't grasp it. It was too much for him to, what's going on here? And Jesus said, reach your finger here. And he had a hole where that spear, that sword went through. And then he said, look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put your hand into my side. Do not be unbelieving, he said to Thomas, but believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. No, he said. When his hand went in Jesus' side, and he looked at Jesus' hands and saw the scars, the holes, he said, coming out of unbelief, coming out of confusion, my Lord and my God. That's what he said. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Glory to God. That's you and that's me. He said, look, Thomas, it's one thing. You saw the hole in my side. You've seen my hands. But those that have not seen, blessed are those. Blessed are those. And you know that there are rewards. Each one of you, according to your identity and all that you have accomplished or tried to accomplish in God, I think, well, there will be rewards. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. And so we have an identity here on the earth, and we're growing in God, and we're changing, and we're being washed by the blood of Jesus. Over and over, because I need it, over and over and over again. But yet, I will have a new name that is written down in heaven, but I still will be me, but the new me, the new you. And we shall be as he is. When we try to think about what heaven will be like, or heaven on earth, when we think about, we only see like one little speck of sand on a beach. I know that my Savior lives, and I know that we will go on with the most exciting, thrilling time that will not end with God, and that he has a purpose for each and every one of us in the New Jerusalem, here on earth. There is so much going on here on earth, isn't there? Yet God sees you, and he sees you transforming into the image of his Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. The life is in the blood. Thank you. Thank you that you shed every drop for us to walk in the abundance of life, but also the renewed spirit, the renewed mind. You did it all for us. He knows what's going on in the world, yet he knows exactly when the trumpet shall sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. He hasn't forgotten them. There will be a literal sound of the trumpet. Maybe the rest of the world won't hear it, but we will hear it, the blowing of the trumpet, and we will know this is it. I'm taking off. I'm going to glory. We will hear it. And I believe that people that have died and are buried will hear it, right? And, of course, we know that the graves will open first, and they will be taken up. All of a sudden, they're going to hear a trumpet blast, a trumpet sound. I can't imagine what an anointing sound, you know, that's going to be to awaken us and all of a sudden to pick us up as we look forward to meet our Savior. How do you know that's true? That's a silly question. What? Jesus Christ is truth. Amen? And he's preparing a place for us. The Father is getting us ready, and we are at work as the bride and in making ourselves ready. Think about it. The bride has made herself ready. Think about it. What is the bride doing to prepare herself to get ready? What is she really doing? Somebody have an idea? What is she doing? She's keeping her eyes on the Lord. She's going through her day, but her eyes are on the Lord. They're fixed more and more and more as she grows in the love of God. She's keeping her eyes on the Word. She knows the promises of God. She knows them, and they keep her heart beating hard after him, because they are yea and amen. No matter what is going on here around us, we see glory. We see promises. We see a future. We see a loving God. We see a committed Son of God who is waiting for his bride. And I love the fact that he doesn't even know, just as we don't know, when the Father will say, go ahead, go get her. He couldn't be more ready than what he is. So I ask you and myself, as the bride of Christ, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready or not, here I come. But are you ready? The bride has made herself ready. How do you make yourself ready? Well, you got to find a big suitcase and start packing. The bride is ready because as the world is growing darker, she is getting brighter inside. And her love is growing and glowing inside of her. She is getting herself ready and even beginning to say, come, Lord Jesus. That's when the bride is ready. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, no, I just want to see my grandchildren grow up. I want to see I don't know. What can you think of, Pastor? That may hold back people from pushing into that promise. That's not a ready bride. She's not ready. If she is not hoping that it will be today, then she's not ready. Amen? And so what is it that will give her that hope that is so strong that nothing else matters. She's made herself ready. She has looked upon the Lord. She has looked upon his heart, and she begins to understand him more. And what I mean by that is the word of God, a better understanding. When Jesus said, I take care of my sheep. They are mine. I let them lay down in green pastures. I follow them. I watch and I think of the shepherd. And I think of the shepherd. What a job that was. To go out into the field, to go out into the desert and watch all of these sheep. To take care of them. To even take their knots out, to even clean their eyes. They would get eye infections constantly, to clean them like that. If one little one strayed away, I believe, as I've heard about shepherds, taking that one's leg and breaking it, and then wrapping it and tying that little lamb to their chest so they would not be put down until they were healed again. I don't know it all. I see in little glimpses here and there. But the love of God to say, as a shepherd, I watch over my sheep and not one will be taken from me. I'll sleep in the cave, the door of the cave. I will become the door. I am the door. I will put them in a cave at night and I will lie in that opening and be a door so that nobody could pass. Nobody could steal even one of my sheep. Jesus is a tender, loving shepherd. Loving. We love those that love us. Do we really love our enemies as we are asked to? I've asked God to give me a love for certain people. I've asked him to give me a love. But when we get to the place where we say, you know, that man did my son wrong, because when it comes to your children, but I don't want him to go to hell. And because I'm the mother of that child, I'm the one that can stand in the gap for that man, because no one can put down their own feelings and pray for that person and make that decision to pray for that person who is mean to my child. Well, why do you think that God is allowing your child to go through that? Because you're a Christian and you're going to pray for that child. How easy, when our child is hurting, could we sit in our chair and cry and pray prayers? But what about praying for the person? What about praying for the person? Love your enemies. That can only come from God. But you see, the bride is in a place where she is praying all of these things and receiving them because she's so true about it. She's going after, God, I want to be like you. I want to have a heart like you. I want to have a mind. My ways, I want them to be your ways. Because you have said, your ways are not my ways. That's in the word. But I want my ways to be your ways. And I want to be an instrument while I still have breath on the earth to please you. Your way, not mine. So Jesus, he keeps preparing this place for us. You know what? How long would it take Jesus to prepare a place for us? I think a long, long time, because I think the place is within us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're going to leave this world. Let's get ready. Let's get in that word. Sometimes if a whole week goes by and you pick up your word to come to church or whatever device, you know, you use, and you haven't read it all week, you're not making yourself ready. You're not. The bride, she has everything that she needs for her wedding. She doesn't have to worry about after that because he will supply everything. But she has everything internally ready. We're going to leave this world. The global stage is being set for the Son of Prediction. Amen? And we don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season. We know the season of the rapture. Amen. I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah again. I like him. You know, the wisdom that he has in his teachings. And, you know, he was emphasizing it could be any moment. It could be any moment. Get ready. It could be any moment. We don't know the day or the hour, but certainly we know we are in the season. You remember reading in Luke chapter 19 about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem? Because he knew what was going to come upon them. He knew the end. We're watching Israel right now. And this is so biblical. What days we are living in. It is so biblical. The scriptures are coming alive and being opened right before our eyes. You see, Israel, they did not know the time of their visitation. They did not recognize it. And I believe God is going to make them ready. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like the church getting ready. It's going to be very difficult. Regarding the return of the Messiah, we don't know dates, but we know the season, and we know to be ready at all times. But when the world is not expecting him, he will come. When the bride is not expecting him, he will come. The bride of Christ knows we're getting very close. We can see where we are on God's prophetic time clock. We really can. You know, Read the prophecies and read what Jesus had to say. We've spoken about it so much, and we've read it probably who knows how many times, but really look at it and say, this is now. This is it. Because it is. And the bride, her path gets very narrow as we see the time approaching. As we see the day approaching, her path that she has to walk is getting very, very narrow. Holiness. As each day passes, the next day is a greater possibility of the removal of the church. Don't put your hope in a political person. No. 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 There is no one unless God raises up a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Our hope is in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. God's final dealing with Israel is coming upon them, leading up to the saving of Israel, of all Israel, to be saved. By the way, pray for Kamala. Pray for Trump. We're going to go into a horrific time. You understand what I'm saying? Because that line that was drawn, that dividing line, is going deeper and wider, where we're on one side and the world is on the other side. Amen? But we want to see more and more souls coming to the Lord. When you talk to somebody about the Lord, talk to them with excitement. Excitement. Let them see in your eyes that you truly believe what you're saying and that there is excitement there. We saw in France how the Olympics, the beginning, mocked Jesus. Did you ever think you would see something like that? And it was a big joke. And they knew what they were doing. I believe that. The more we see hatred, and I'm going to say for the church, because to me, that was an outward sign in your face. Ha, ha, ha. But see, it has to come to this. When we see hatred, we can sense what's coming. How do you not take the mark? Listen up, people. It's coming soon. The real one, the mark. If we're all still here, and there's a great possibility. How do you do it? The bride has made herself ready. And we have to be willing to die. Listen, if I have this pulpit, I could sugarcoat, I could make you feel really good when you leave, but I have a responsibility. Amen? And if it's in here, that's my responsibility. And I thank God that He overlooks my own sins. I repent. But to be a mouthpiece for the Lord, to share this in all of its entirety and truth, have to do it. It is becoming a perilous thing to bear the name of Jesus Christ in this world. The road is getting narrower. The word says Jesus is going to come when you least expect it. Maintain the excellence. Do not become discouraged. Jesus said, I am coming back. And He told us what to look for. And we are here. If you think about in Matthew, right? And He speaks about the end times, right? Those followers of Jesus that were with Him, thinking that it was going to happen in their lifetime. No, He was speaking to us. Get ready. Be ready. Get focused. Stay focused. Because you know what? I still believe the best is yet to come. I really do. Did you ever imagine yourself doing things for the Lord with such ease and power? Come on, anybody? Nobody? Oh my God. Did you ever imagine in your mind doing things for God, like walking around and preaching and sharing and whatever, or laying hands on the sick or raising the dead or whatever? Keep it alive and on the forefront of your minds. Amen. Get ready. Be focused. Stay focused. Read the word like you never read it before. Be desperate to hear his voice. Read the word like you never heard it before. Ask the Holy Spirit for another dimension, another level of understanding and discernment through it. Ask him, and then open it up. Ask the Holy Spirit, I'm reading this, but I don't understand this. Show me. I want to know. I want to know the Lord more. When they take the Bibles away from us, I want to be a walking Bible. Russia, Turkey, and Iran are ready to come against Israel. And Israel is getting ready to advance. I was looking into that. It's on their minds. Can you imagine? Because I grew up learning that when all four corners turned on Israel, the Lord is coming back. Be ready. The bride has made herself ready. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. Today is different than last week. When you see these things coming to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. When you see these things, and you wonder how America will get involved, which way is she going? Look up, your redemption is drawing near. His sons and his daughters from all over the earth. Do you know there is so much worship going on right now? I can't. It is amazing. After the Olympics in France, worship broke out. Did you see it? Thousands in the night hours. And they had lights and they worshiped. And they worshiped, and they worshiped. I saw that, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was revived. And you see it everywhere. Don't you see it? People are coming together and worshiping, indoors, outdoors. Have you seen it? You haven't? Everywhere I look lately, I'm seeing this. It's like a breakout. It's like no one is leading. I'm not talking about someone on a stage. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in fields, in streets. Even in Israel, I saw it. They were worshiping. It's like, how do you call up that many people? How do you all of a sudden? It's like instantaneous. It's like they hear the sound and they're drawn to it. Those that aren't drawn, don't go. But they're worshiping. Thousands of people are coming together all around the globe. Start looking into it. The worship is going on day and night and night and day for the Lord's return. For the Lord's return. It's something. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it's growing. The bride is separated, faithful and true, just like her groom. She looks more like him every day. In this hour, God has his eyes on you, the bride. And that's what I entitled this message, that God has his eyes on you. He's watching you. His eyes, like a father. He is a father looking down at his child. In this hour, God's eyes are on his son's bride. It's going to be all about the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the church of Jesus Christ. So many headlines, there's so much chatter, so much disgrace, so much agitation, anxiety, so much confusion, anger, so much worry, so much fear. But the Father sees, the Father knows. The Father will cause that trumpet to sound, and the Father will call us up, and his eyes are on us. Make sure that you're ready. You're getting ready. Make sure that your eyes are on the Lord. He's looking at you. Stand with me, please. Father, I want to thank you for Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that he is our teacher and he's teaching the bride how to be a bride, how to become a wife. Spiritual things. Open up our ears, our hearts, our eyes to see, to hear, to know. Spirit of God, I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us. You are our guide. You guide us. Thank you. You anoint us with an anointing that breaks yokes. You give us wisdom. You lead us. You fill us. You help us. Jesus said, wait, wait. The helper is coming. I must go so that the helper, we have help when not alone. And Father, we ask you for an increase of anointing. We ask you for an increase of love for you. An increase of wisdom, strength, courage. Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the bride say, come. What a connection. The Spirit and the bride are crying out in the last times, saying, come, Lord Jesus. We want to be so connected to you, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have to go. Because then my Father will send the Spirit. I finished my work. It is finished. Thank you. Thank you for the finished work of the cross and the work that the cross is still doing in us. Thank you. Father, thank you that you sent your Spirit down. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the conviction that we feel. And thank you that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, he will lead you into all truth. Truth, not lies. Truth. And the truth is what sets us free. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, would you show us how to be ready even more than we already are? But how to be ready, Lord God, and how to be so sensitive, oh God, and how to just talk to people about you. Just talk. Just open up our mouths. Let our eyes shine when we speak about you. Let our voice be so inviting when we speak about you, God. Let us go forth, God, knowing that the time is coming that you're going to call the church. And so let us make the most out of every opportunity and the time that is left. We want to please you, Lord. Thank you for watching over us. thank you that you will lead us through very, very dark times, but you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us. And we will have joy. We will have joy like the first church in the book of Acts. They had to run. They had to hide. Many horrible things were taking place, but they came together. They broke bread. They sang songs. They worshiped. Thank you, God, because that final promise is coming. The keeping power will be upon us, and we thank you for that. Every word written in the Bible, Lord God, is you speaking to us, and your eyes are upon us. With all everything that's going on, Father, we know that your eyes are upon us, just the way Job felt. Even though he went through such terrible suffering, he knew that you were focusing on him. You're glorious, a wonderful Father, beautiful God, beautiful Son, beautiful Spirit. We want to walk closer. Let it be. Awaken us. Keep us awake, Lord. Keep us awake. Don't allow us to fall asleep in any area, Spirit of God. But keep us awake. In Jesus' holy name, amen, 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 amen. Amen, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Be blessed, people.